Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
I'm Kim Grenolds of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, and we're in the visitors coaching booth again overlooking Alaska Airlines Field, and still raining hard. Washington defeated by Arizona State 35-30 in front of an announced crowd of 57,858. There was probably maybe
858.
Yeah, probably about 60% of that in the stands at its peak. Game time, 3 hours, 23 minutes. Kickoff temperature was 49 degrees. It was nice for about 2 minutes into the first quarter, and then the rain started and just really never let up. And as we're looking out into the lights of the stadium, it still hasn't let up. But fast start by Washington. You know, I put out on Twitter, who are these guys? I didn't recognize that offense.
It was the oop-de-oop offense.
Oop-de-oop.
It was the oop-de-oop. And it was like, it was the offense that where every trick play kind of remind me a little bit of the first drive that Washington ran against Alabama in the Peach Bowl, where basically you had the reverses and the tricks and everything they could do to kind of throw Arizona State off balance early, and it worked. It worked really well. Bob Gregory said after the game that they really tried to simplify the offense for both Dylan Morris and Sam Huard, and clearly whatever they worked on this week was great at the very, very beginning. They were able to get a couple touchdown drives. The defense looked really good starting out. They did give up some runs, some plays, but you know, they had a great four down stand in the goal line, get the ball back, and they tried a bunch of different things. They tried a couple different quarterbacks. They did some things that we hadn't seen all year, basically, and unfortunately, it still wasn't enough to get the win.
Yeah, they go up 14-0, and they hold Arizona State. At one point, was 0-6 on third down conversions, but at some point, the things that we had pretty much seen all year long seemed to creep in. And, defensively, I thought that they started off pretty quick. But Rashad White and Jaden Daniels just kind of took over. It was just a two-man offensive show.
Yeah, and, I mean, you could see the, especially in that fourth quarter after that 9-minute, 20-play drive, that Washington's defense was just completely gassed. And then Washington's offense comes out and they just go a three and out.
Yeah, like a minute and a half of offense.
Yeah, they go three and out. The defense couldn't recover after that, because then ASU just goes right down the field and goes in for the go-ahead touchdown. And Washington just, you could just tell, I think on the sidelines, the players were just like, here we go again. And that's what happened. I really thought with a minute and 11 seconds left, I thought Dylan Morris would at least be able to get Washington down on the other side of the field. But then he goes in and throws a pick six and misses a couple easy throws that he should have made. Aggravating.
When you've got to score a touchdown and you're throwing 7-yard passes, I know at some point you've got to take what the defense is giving you, but you've got to score a touchdown and you've got a minute to go. A 7-yard pass isn't going to do you any good.
But what if everybody's covered? What do you do?
You've got to score a touchdown.
And what if the offensive line's not giving you enough time to run to throw the ball?
Yeah.
You know, the thing of it is, Washington gave up 286 yards on the ground again. Mm-hmm. I I'm down on the field, so it's tough for me to see the defensive scheme. That Arizona State's going to run the ball. Yeah. And if they don't, Jaden Daniels can't throw the ball.
Yeah.
So what were they doing defensively? I mean, were they bringing guys up in the box? Were they bringing an extra
defensive lineman? They had 6, 7, 8 guys in the box. Didn't matter.
Trent McDuffie was actually trying to spy a little bit on Jaden Daniels early on.
It
worked. I thought it was pretty effective.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell if they went away from it completely in the second half or not. But those runs that Jaden Daniels tried to use in the first half that weren't effective were all of a sudden Washington was getting gashed with the same type of plays, where there were a couple times where basically they were just quarterback delays going right up the middle with a blocker, and they were going to be good for 15, 20 yards a pop. And Washington just didn't have any answers for them.
Is it me, or does it just look like these schemes that are designed? I mean, they're almost like scared. They're scared to throw the ball down the field. They're scared to bring extra guys in the box. It looks like they're playing so defensively that, you know, the timidness of the, you know, where you don't see the aggressiveness on there is actually slowing them down.
Well, I think seriously, the problem was they came out with so much energy and had so much success early on that it kind of, I think, was a false dawn in the sense that now all of a sudden it was like, well, wait a second. Like you said, what is this offense? We were all kind of joking about it. This is such a different offense than what we've seen. But the reality is that was just kind of a facade. And the team that we've really seen all year long was the team that showed up in the second half. That was the team that was playing not to lose. That was the team that was just trying to play the game. If they couldn't get a first down, they'd play field position. They'd lean on their defense to try to get something done. And to be fair, the defense had a chance to get some things done on that 20-play drive. You know, I'm not going to want to single out some guys, but there were a couple blocked or a couple missed blocks or missed tackles that if they get those guys down, it could be, we could be talking about an entirely different game.
And Bob Gregory postgame, I mean, he was talking about, you know, just missed tackles. That's what the issue was. You know, but, you know, getting back to the offense, I mean, the offensive coordinator was fired, but it's not like they can change the offense as far. I mean, you've got to run the playbook. You've got you've got the playbook, and it's not so much about the plays that are being called, it's about executing the plays that are called.
Yeah, and that's on the offensive line. It starts with the offensive line. The offensive line just cannot move anybody. They can't move anybody. They're struggling to block people. They can't stay on blocks, and then you watch on the defensive side of the ball, they can't get off blocks.
Yeah.
It's so maddening to watch these guys get blocked, a receiver blocking an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my gosh, what is going on? Why can't you guys, no one uses their hands. No, it's just, I don't know. I don't have any answers for why this is what it is. This is what we're going to see for the next two, possibly three games if they get lucky and win those two games and go bowling. But this is the team they are. This is who they are, and it's not going to change.
Sean McGrew was in street clothes, so I didn't know if you guys noticed that in pregame, but Sean McGrew wasn't playing. I'm not sure how much of a difference that would have made. I thought Cam Williams played
okay. Yeah.
Cam Davis.
Yeah, Cam Davis.
Because Cam Williams wasn't in.
Yeah,
didn't play either.
Yeah, Cam Davis had 18 carries for 67 yards, and you compare that to Rashad White, who had 32 carries for 184 yards, and you know,
what was it? The 56-yard touchdown run was.
Yeah,
and
he got one call back for a hold. So
yeah,
that too.
I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I was having a tough time out there with Arizona State shoes. So I kept on thinking I was seeing flags out there because of the colors of their shoes.
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that too much.
Yeah, Sam Heward got in for
three drives.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had three drives, and then what was interesting is on one drive where they scored in the second half that he was engineering, it was Dylan Morris that was actually in on the play where they scored, which was interesting because were they trying to fake a sneak?
Like they were going
to
do something?
Yeah, I don't know. It was very interesting. I just thought it was a little unusual. But the hard part about kind of grading Sam Heward or looking at it that way was just he didn't have to throw a ball on that drive. We're talking about the drive right after Alex Cook's interception. They gave the ball. It was almost exclusively to Cam Davis until the very end. They gave it to Kamari Pleasant for the touchdown. But he engineered the drive. I mean, he got it going. He made it happen. He was the guy who helped execute the thing. So
he only threw five passes on the night.
Yeah, and so it's very difficult to know how they were doing. But the one thing we can say, Kim, is that when Washington really needed to have a drive, they went to their starter in crunch time. And, you know, and to be fair to Dylan Morris, he's had three come-from-behind victories. He's done it. He did it against Stanford. He did it against Arizona. He did it against Utah last year. So he has it in him. The only difference tonight is that clearly he wasn't at that same level of confidence.
Yeah, also just the first couple of series that Sam got, they were pretty well backed up.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bad field position. A couple of things. Did you get an explanation when Race Porter took off and ran it, why they didn't review that as a targeting call?
No.
Why wouldn't it be a targeting call?
Well, he got in the head. His helmet came off.
He went backwards, and the guy hit him with his chest on its head.
Yeah. I couldn't see it. I was kind of surprised.
Honestly, it kind of reminded me of the two-point thing where he kind of tried to back in down here. And I don't remember which game that was, but it was just one of those weird where it looked like he was going to get in for sure. And then all of a sudden he gets stonewalled, but he gets stonewalled because he's with his back going, mm-hmm. you know, to the goal. And it was like, yeah, it was just a weird deal. And he kind of hesitated a little bit, kind of mid-run.
Which got a punt.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just overall a strange deal. And I thought maybe they would try to review it for a little better spot. But we were convinced, Softy told us that
Softy said it was short. I thought it should have been reviewed at least to make sure. And the fact that they didn't look and see if Rashad White fumbled that ball, maybe he didn't, but why not even look at it?
Yeah.
Why not just look at it?
Yeah. Play of the game, I think that just changed the whole tenor of the game was the Dylan Morris pitch to Cam Davis with the fumble and the long return. And I think that was kind of the play of the game and really turned the momentum towards Arizona State.
I don't disagree with you, but the thing is, Washington still went up 24-14 after that.
And to be fair, Kim, that was one that I kind of noticed as well. But when Scott told me about the play with Alfonso Tupatala on the fourth down on the long ASU drive on the following deal,
I had to go with that because it should have been stopped in the backfield.
He buries those guys in the backfield and makes the tackle.
Washington has the ball at the ASU 46.
You're talking about, first of all, Washington, there's seven less points on the board. It's still, what would it be? 24-14. Yeah, so it'd still be 24-14. Washington gets the ball back, and they get the ball back kind of midfield-ish.
At the 46 of Arizona State.
Very close. Yeah. So, you know, they had opportunities, and you know, Bruner missed a couple, and I don't want to single him out too much because he had a pretty heroic game altogether.
Yeah.
He had 15 tackles or 14, something.
14
tackles. You know, those guys, I mean, they played their butts off, and it's just unfortunate that at the end, when you've got to find guys on offense and defense to make plays, they just weren't able to rise to the occasion, and that's unfortunately, I think, a byproduct of just how this season has gone for them.
Yeah, it's just been frustrating, you know. And like I said, you know, the fumble, and Washington hasn't been that bad in turnovers, but it just seems like they can't get any breaks going their way.
Well, you can't lose the turnover battle in a game like this with the elements the way they are and expect to win.
Well, also, you know, it's raining, you know, and I don't know. It'll look like a lot of missed tackles out there, and
yep.
I mean, is there such a thing as it's wet and it's slippery?
Yeah, for sure.
But those aren't missed tackles because of it being slippery.
No,
those are missed tackles because the guys are worn out.
You also didn't. You also noticed that ASU didn't miss a ton of tackles.
No.
It was also because they had four or five guys that were right on top of the plays, and Washington couldn't get any sort of separation or anything in the run game that would allow them to, you know, try to do something. So that was the hard part too, is that, or you know, Arizona State was in a situation where they would get a lot of, you know, penetration in the A and B gaps and were able to kind of really create some lanes for their running backs. Washington got nothing like that at all.
Just a couple of stats, you know, with Washington, you know, only gaining 95 yards on the ground and Arizona State with 286, and that's even with Jaden Daniels losing 27 yards, you know, on sacks. Mm-hmm. 90 yards passing for Arizona State. Jaden Daniels, I mean, you want him to throw the ball. They couldn't force him to throw the ball. Washington had 171 yards. I think one of the interesting stats is Washington, again, was not, you know, they were 4 of 12. On third down conversions, but
ASU wasn't much better. What were they?
Arizona State was 3 of 12, but at one point they were 0 for 6.
Yeah.
So they were 3 of 6 as the game went on.
Yeah.
Rashad White again, 32 carries for 184. Jaden Daniels was 15 for 83, but again 27 yards lost, so he had over 100 yards.
110,
but they take off the yardage for the sacks. Cam Davis, 18 carries for 67 yards. And, you know, the quarterbacks for Washington, Dylan Morris was 16 of 28 for 151. Sam Heward was 3 of 5 for 20 yards. And then Carson Bruner, of course, with 14 tackles. And Jacob Sermon with 11 tackles.
Jackson Sermon.
Jacob Sermon's the quarterback.
Yes.
Alex Cook was my defensive player of the night. 7 tackles and the huge interception. Yeah. And by the way, Chris noticed this. I didn't see it until the turnover or until the replay. But the ASU wide receiver actually tipped it. Redirected it to him.
And it was
he might not have picked it off.
He made very much kind of a reaction catch where it literally came to him. But
that was because the wide receiver hit it.
Yeah. It almost looked like in real time, like it hit, like he breadbasketed.
Yeah.
But it was because the ASU kid tipped it right to him. Yeah. It was like a glancing tip.
You know, just it's been a chaotic week.
By the way, I want to give Braylon Trice, I'm sorry, Kim, some kudos. He had a really good game.
He did.
I thought he had a really good game. 4 tackles. 2 sacks.
Yeah.
Voice Tanufi had a sack.
And especially in a situation where most of the outside linebackers really had a poor day.
Yeah.
And holding the edges, they did not play their leverages. And their
ZTF goes up. ZTF just got de-cleated.
It was awful. It'd be interesting to see how he is. We didn't mention either two. No Terrell Bynum today. Don't know what's going on with Terrell.
Tuatele
was in street clothes. And then also Kate Otten going out with he's on crutches, so we don't know if it's
like
ankle knee, but yeah,
looked like an ankle.
If it's an ankle sprain, who knows?
Or even if it's a high ankle sprain, that's what, a 6 to 8 week.
And high ankle sprains can sometimes be worse than broken legs. So
yeah.
Overall, this season is really taking a toll, and it's hard. It's hard to see those guys go down, especially in this manner, because. You know, you want to see those kids succeed, especially the kids that stayed an extra year when they didn't have to. You'd like to see those guys get a little bit of success here trying to get to the end. But, hey, as bad as things have gone, guys, they still have plenty to play for.
Yep.
They've got to get bowl eligible. That's so key, especially if they do end up having to go for a new staff. That they want those extra practices, and they need them desperately.
But not just that. How nice is it for that new staff to come in and says, look, they just fired their staff and they went 6-6. I'm taking over a team that's a bowl team.
Right.
I come in here, help us. We're going to be better than a bowl team if we're having success.
And because of the extra eligibility too, you've got so many young kids that can really benefit from those extra practices.
Chaotic week, to say the least, with John Donovan getting fired last Sunday. Jimmy Lake suspended for a week. We're expecting news to come down tomorrow. I think there's, 3 options with Jimmy Lake. He can be off suspension and be back at practice tomorrow or Monday. The suspension could be extended for another game or for the rest of the season, or he could be let go. I don't think it's a real mystery. I fully expect Jimmy Lake to be let go tomorrow.
I think there's going to be an amicable parting of the ways, if there ever is such a thing. That's probably how it'll be termed.
I don't know. Jimmy's not the amicable. He just doesn't seem to me to have the personality of amicable parting of ways guy. So we'll have to see what happens, because I think it's going to be a real interesting day. It's just unfortunate. You know, the kids ultimately wind up paying the price. And then, you know, Mike Varell comes out with a story today that
Quentin Pounds.
Shoving a guy in the locker room. I thought it was kind of... Am I the only one that thought it was kind of odd?
Well, the cynical part in me thinks that could have been a ploy by the school to try to, you know, negotiate in the press. I don't think that's the case.
I know that's not the case.
But that's what the perception could be, that's the way it's taken. The timing's super odd to me, too, because if there was actually something legitimate to it... It would have come out in 2019.
Well, what I found out that was odd about it was you had players saying something happened, but then again you had players saying it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of like a he said, she said. So when you get into that kind of a situation on something like that, I just found it kind of odd.
And it's your defensive coordinator going after a wide receiver?
Yeah.
It just seemed weird. There was too many pieces of it where it was kind of like a, what's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. And again, I'm certainly not condoning it from that point of view, but, guys getting pushed around in a locker room, I would think that that would happen at some point somewhere in every locker room at the Power 5 level at least once a season. I'm not, again, not trying to condone it, but that I would think that'd probably be a reality. I mean, I don't think it happens every weekend in every Power 5 locker room, but I would think, I wouldn't find it all that together surprising if it happened maybe once a season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw Shane Powell call, you know, before the game, and I mean, if we ask Shane if coaches ever put their hands on players back in the day, he'd probably laugh.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
Well, they also took water away from kids back in his day. Yeah. They practice three times a day sometimes.
How much, I mean, with this chaotic week that we've seen, Chris, how much impact do you think that had on what we saw on the field?
I think it's really hard to judge because so much changed tonight in terms of offense. And although with defense didn't look like it changed at all. It looked like they're exactly who we expected them to be. We expected them to be really good against the pass, and we expected them to try and be good against the run, but it's just not who they are. I mean, it's in their DNA right now. It's baked in for the entire season, which is difficult because, you know, they give up 200 yards to Travis Dye. They give up 185 yards almost to Rashad White. Jared Broussard from Colorado, I don't know what his stats are right now, but at halftime of Colorado's game with UCLA, he was over 100 yards. So that's another guy that they're going to have to contend with to try to stop. You know, they're going to have their hands full against Colorado, man.
Did you see the tweet by Brock Huard, Scott?
No.
He pretty much reiterated what you said, that it's so frustrating to watch this defense because they're playing defense like they've got Danny Shelton, Vita Vea, Elisha Qualls, and Greg Gaines up front.
They don't have difference makers up front. As much as I like some of the players that Washington has and think they could be pretty darn good, they don't have difference makers.
Well, and some of those guys, like Tuatelli, wasn't even available, and then Thule got a little banged up, didn't he? So I don't know. What, did he ever come back at the end of the game, Thule? Because I know he got a little banged up.
I thought I saw him.
Yeah, clearly he was probably a little bit banged up. They had, I mean, Jacob Bandis, to his credit, played a lot. I thought he had some moments. You know, Voight Tanufi had some moments for sure. The younger guys are starting to step up. But like Kual Pehopa today in street clothes.
He's in street clothes.
It just feels like every time they can take a step forward, they end up taking a couple steps back. That's the frustrating part.
Every time somebody comes back, it seems like another guy is out.
Right, and like Zion, for instance, he's finally had a run of games where he's getting healthier, and then he just gets absolutely depleted on that one play. Who knows? Would it shock me if he was out for concussion next week? No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm not claiming that, guys. Don't quote me on that. But the way he reacted and the way that hit went, it looked bad.
MJ Ole went out. It looked like looks like he maybe got poked in the eye.
Yeah,
eye scratch.
Yeah,
so something strange going on there. So it's going to be a busy day tomorrow, guys. It's going to be a busy day regardless. So why don't we go ahead and wrap this up?
Okay,
we got a long, long day tomorrow. Just final thoughts, Chris Fetters.
Yeah, just I think overall it's unfortunate that the game ended the way it did. I thought it really started with a lot of promise. And again, if everyone looked at my predictions, I wasn't predicting a Washington win, but I was really pleasantly surprised. I think they showed a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. They really played like they had nothing to lose in the first half, and then I think maybe it dawned on them that maybe they did have a game they could have lost, and so they were trying to play not to lose in the second half, and it came back to bite them. But for all the Washington fans that didn't get a chance to watch this on TV or didn't maybe – I don't know if the copy showed it, but between the third and fourth quarters, the time out there, that team rallied around the 50-yard line in a group and showed more energy, jumping up and down, getting fired up, than I've seen all year long. I really expect them to come, hopefully rise to the occasion against Colorado. Winning on the road there is obviously never easy. But I really do think that Bob Gregory has got these guys firing a little bit. You know, Junior Adams has obviously shown some things in the first couple drives that in many ways we hadn't seen all year. So there are good things to look forward to if you want to, but it's still, if you're a Washington fan, you got to be so frustrated how this thing ended.
Final thoughts, Scott Eklund?
Frustrating loss, frustrating season, tumult all around right now. A lot of unsure things within and the direction of the program and who's going to be the head coach next year, who, you know, all the stuff that's going to happen. Just a tough way for a lot of these guys that I've followed, you know, basically since they were sophomores in high school and talked to and gotten to know the parents. And it's just frustrating for everybody all the way around. It stinks that it ends this way, but, you know, they got two more games to get bowl eligible. Still a lot to play for. Hopefully Washington come out next Saturday, play well at Colorado, get a win, and then come back. Apple Cup could be a real interesting game. Friday after Thanksgiving.
Early start next week, next Saturday against against Colorado.
Finally,
the first one of 12.
Yeah. So
no, when did the there was one game Arkansas that started, didn't Arkansas right? State started at 12?
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So early game.
That feels like a year ago.
I know it does.
late game with the Apple Cup. So this is what it is out there. I mean, you know. So two games left and. Big day tomorrow. You know, it's going to indicate, you know, the future of this program for the next several years. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Just a reminder, if you are not a subscriber, you know, 50% off of your annual subscription on the website. So really good timing because I think it's going to be real interesting. And if you're only a monthly subscriber, go ahead and upgrade to the half off the yearly subscriber.
It's upgradable.
Kind of nuts if you're not. If you're going to, you know, half off. You know,
if you've ever been curious about what we're about, this is the time to do it because Sunday, Monday, there's going to be a lot going on. A lot.
And I know I say this all the time, but if you're just looking at what's on the front page, you're missing out. It's the hardcore football, hardcore basketball, hardcore recruiting board. That's where the good information is. And if you're looking for those daily updates as well as breaking news alerts, just shoot us a note, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will get you hooked up. Again, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. 6 o'clock tip-off on Monday for the basketball team. I think it's Texas Southern. And then Thursday, 8 o'clock start with, I think it's Wyoming on Thursday night. And then Colorado basketball game. It's going to be a busy
football week.
We got two basketball games and a football game, so it's going to be a busy week. So, for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Reynolds, along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.